Bible this morning, turn to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. And we want to direct your attention to verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in high school, I ran the 440 relay, and you hand the baton off to the next man, and then the next man, and the next man. Well, I want to take this brother's baton. He's passed to me this morning. He preached on the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to preach on the magnificence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless the message now. Speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, Jesus Christ is the best friend you could ever have in your life. Amen. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that title, Lord Jesus Christ, those three words appear 81 times, or in 81 verses of the New Testament. This name is well known by Christians and loved by multitudes. But to those who hate our Lord, they choke on it and avoid saying it because of the implications and the power of the greatness of that name and that person. First of all, we want to look at that word Lord. We call him Lord. Now, what does that really mean? What does that really entail? Well, that Greek word for Lord is the word kurios, and it's rich in meaning, which will add insight to the reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, that word Lord was a word of authority. It was used in reference to the Father, who was the master of his house. He was the undisputed owner of any property. To a person who had the authority, it was a person who had the authority to even administer the death sentence upon a criminal. And to a man who had moral authority, because he had authority over himself or self-control. You know, all those definitions describe the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is your master, and he is your undisputed owner. See, but beloved, your body belongs to him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus has the authority to condemn men and women without faith. He has that authority to condemn them to eternal death if they're not saved. He is Lord. Let me ask, what will happen to you when you die? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? Understand that he is the judge of the universe. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. John 5:22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. As Lord Jesus mastered and had self-control over himself, he conquered every temptation that came his way. Amen. He was sinless and as pure as fire or fresh fallen snow. That is why he could die for our sins. He was the only one who was qualified to pay the debt for our sin. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I'm thankful for that. But wait a minute. That word Lord was also a word of affection. Kurios was a word of courtesy. It was a word of respect. The word Lord was used to address a superior, such as a child who was addressing a parent, or a student who was talking to a teacher, or a subject who was talking to the king. The Lord is our superior. If we have this attitude in our hearts, we will affectionately call him Lord. But wait a minute. That word Lord was also a word of aristocracy. In the Oriental courts in the East, the word Kyrios or Lord was the title of royalty. The Lord Jesus Christ is royalty. He's the epitome of royalty because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, 16. But wait a minute, the word Lord was a word of agony and annihilation. This one word Lord sent Christianity clashing with the Roman Empire, like a hurricane waves of the sea that smash into granite rocks on the shores. It left Christians in ashes from the bonfires that licked their bodies in flames that were like sheets of molten gold. Believers young and old were left to die in puddles of blood on the Colosseum floor there in Rome or upon rugged roadside crosses for all to see and for ravens and vultures to feast upon. Caesar worship became compulsory in the empire. Each Roman citizen was required just once a year to offer just a little pinch of incense to the statue of Caesar and say, "Caesar is Lord." Well, that was a test of loyalty to the emperor. And once that was done, a citizen of Rome could worship any god he pleased, even the Christians. Thousands of Christians, however, they would not compromise. They would rather die than attribute the term Lord to Caesar and worship him because they knew that he was not Lord at all. Now, if you were in their shoes in that day, what would you have done? Just think about that. Is Jesus your Lord, or do you act like or call something else your Lord today? You know, much of the world today has no use for Jesus Christ. He is not the Lord to those who do not know him. In fact, many spend time attacking the Lord Jesus Christ. Atheists may antagonize and attack our adoration for him. Blasphemers may balk and belittle his blood sacrifice on the cross. Scoffers may scorn the promise of his second coming, but that's all right. He's still Lord. Mockers may malign his title and position as the Messiah and the mediator. Haters of God may heckle the hope that we enjoy in him. Sinners may shun and spurn his offer of salvation. Rebels may resist his resurrection and reign, but he is still Lord. Amen. These protesters are specks of dust to God compared to the universe and his glory. But the day is coming when the attitudes and actions of skeptics and unbelievers will drastically change. Paul said in Philippians 2:9, he said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Yes, Jesus is Lord, and he is magnificent. His position as Lord is timeless. As the sands of the hourglass continued to flow through the ages, his lordship will not weaken, warp, wane, wiggle, or wobble. It will not crack. It will not crumble, be crushed, or conquered. He is Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is not incapacitated by discouragement, depression, disease, or even his own death. He is not inadequate in his ability to save those who desire his forgiveness, mercy, and grace. He is not incapable of answering our prayers and meeting our needs. He is not intimidated by the scorn, the scoffing, and slander by an unbelieving world. He is not invalidated by the world's lack of faith or belief in his deity. He is still God, even though they don't believe in him. See, he is the judge of the world, and we will all answer to him one day. He is Lord, and he is magnificent. As Lord, he is the creator of the universe, who spoke into existence the emptiness of the heavens, and by his power filled it with millions of scattered worlds and stars that glow like embers of a campfire or like diamonds that are bathed in sunlight. Jesus defied the first law of thermodynamics that says that energy cannot be created out of nothing. Well, he created worlds out of nothing by the authority of his voice and power, and set into motion the movement and orbits of the heavens because he is Lord. That's why. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Why? Because he is Lord and he is magnificent. As Lord, he created the lightning that scratches its fingers across the darkness of blackened, stormy skies. Yet he also reads and knows every electrical impulse in your thoughts, reading your mind, your memories, past, present, and future. He knew the thoughts of the Pharisees, and he knows your thoughts too. Matthew 9:4, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Psalm 139:2, the psalmist said, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Oh my, he knows our thoughts. As Lord Jesus was not and will not be intimidated, isolated, or invalidated by those with power and authority on this planet. He has power over death itself, and he was not permanently incarcerated by the grave, because his power is unlimited, unbounded, unfailing, uncontrolled, unhindered, and unfettered. Our Lord will not be silenced, squelched, squished, squeezed, or squandered out of existence. No matter what men may try to do to his reputation or his name, he is Lord and he is magnificent. As Lord, demonic spirits that possessed, tortured, and tore the bodies of people like a deer caught in the clutches of a black panther's paws. They were cast out by the command of our Lord. As Lord, lepers with infected skin and pus-filled sores that rotted like decaying meat, they were cleansed and made whole like the fresh skin of a newborn baby. As Lord, crippled men made prisoners to their beds were liberated to walk among busy streets, rolling hills, and green pastures by the tender touch of our Lord. as Lord loved ones that laid lifeless in a grave clothes were resurrected like sunbeams at the crack of dawn by his authority. As Lord, waves of the sea that raged like an avalanche were calmed and stilled like glassy ponds by his command. As Lord, those who groped through life because their eyes were afflicted with the black veil of blindness, they were healed and given sight by the light of the world. As Lord, the bloody, battered, beaten, butchered body of Jesus Christ arose from the grave on the third day, proving he had power over death and that his promise of eternal life was real. I'm going to tell you, he is Lord and he is magnificent. But you know what? He's not only Lord, he is Jesus to us. The word Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. He is the Savior of mankind. Those who put their faith and put their trust in him for salvation, they are given the gift of eternal life. And oh my, what a gift to receive. It is his desire that all men be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Because he is Savior, he is the focal point of Scripture. He is constantly found in the middle, in the central position, just like a bull's eye on an archer's target. He is to be at the center of our lives. We saw him at the center of a cornfield this morning. But you know what? We find him at the central position in other places. For example, he is the mediator between God the Father and mankind. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is in the middle between God the Father and mankind. For Jesus is the God-man. On this earth, he was God robed in humanity in order to walk among us. As a man, he got tired just like we get tired. But as God, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. As a man, he wept at Lazarus' grave. But as God, he just went ahead and raised him from the grave. As a man, he got hungry just like we get hungry. But as God, he fed thousands with a little boy's lunch. As a man, he was tempted in all points, just as we are. But as God, he was without sin. He was the God-man. He is the magnificent Savior of the world who hung between two thieves on the cross of Calvary that we might have eternal life. We see him in a middle position somewhere else. He is seen in the candlestick or in the menorah of the Jewish temple. The center shaft of the Jewish menorah or candlestick was used to light the other six branches of that candlestick in the temple. The other lights were to be lit only by the central light. The Jews had a special name for the middle light that lit the other candles. It was called the Shamash or the servant candle that serviced the other candles. They also had another name for that central candle. They called it the light of the world. Does that sound familiar? What a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the suffering servant who gives light to those who put their faith in him. Jesus himself said he was the light of the world. But wait a minute, we find Christ in the middle somewhere else. In the book of Revelation 1, he's in the middle of the seven candlesticks in heaven. John said in Revelation 1, 12, "And I turned to see the voices that spake with me, and being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle." These candlesticks are a beautiful picture of the church. Jesus walked in the midst of them. And you know what? He is to be at the center of our churches. And he's to be at the center of our lives too. The question is he the center of your life?
Wow.
Is your focus upon the Lord? You know, Brother Tom, you preached a couple years ago a theme, it's all about him.
Yeah.
I've never lost that. Boy, that dug into me.
Hey.
In fact, when I went home, I made a plaque and put it on the door of my office. It says, "It's all about him." Just to remind me every day about that. Folks, it's all about him.
Amen.
Beloved, Jesus is the Savior of mankind. That message was proclaimed from the time of his birth. Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Titus 2:13, "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Jesus made it very clear that salvation is found only in him. John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." When we can't find our way in the jungles of this life, he lights a path for us to follow, like the light of a full moon at midnight. When we are bruised, beaten, broken, burdened, and gasping for air, like a boxer that has gotten the wind knocked out of him, Jesus' hand reaches out to lift us up, and he holds us in his arms. How many of you know what it is to be held in the arms of Jesus Christ in those broken times? I never cease to be amazed at the patience of Jesus Christ. I don't know why he puts up with me, but he does. He's so patient. He puts up with our fickleness, our filth, our flops, our failures, foolishness, and our flimsy excuses. Loving us with fierce fervency. I don't know about you, but he is magnificent.
Amen.
But you know what? He is Christ. The word Christ means Messiah. He is the King of all kings. The Apostle John gave us a glimpse of him in the book of Revelation. And he described Jesus in chapter 1. John said that his voice is powerful and it roars like the blast of a trumpet, or like the roar of a waterfall. Christ is clothed in a robe down to his feet, and across his chest is a golden sash. His hair and head are white like fresh fallen snow. His eyes are piercing eyes like flaming fire. His feet are like fine brass, as if they were blazing in a flaming furnace of fire. His countenance or appearance is like the brilliant blaze of a midday sun that glows and shines in its brightness and glory. The Bible says his throne is high and lifted up. Oh my, it would need to be that way. For he is surrounded by myriads of angels and redeemed saints of God that worship him and adore him. The roar of millions of voices will be massive as they cry out with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That will be deafening when that is said. Revelation 5:12. the spectacular roar of the sea of the redeemed who worship Christ will be like a deafening, roaring thunder throughout the realm of heaven as we cry out to Him, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Yes, beloved, Jesus is magnificent. The magnificence of Christ dims the glory of all kings and queens like fog that pulls its curtain over the brilliance of the sun. The magnificence is unending like the flight of swift beams of light that sprint from one galaxy to another. The magnificence of Christ beckons a broken will and bended knee from those who have been bought by His crimson blood. When Christ returns, His magnificence, power, and authority will be laid open like a napkin on a lap for all to clearly see. There will be no doubt about who is in charge of this world when He comes back. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you bowed to Him already in your life? Is He your Savior? If so, are you living for Him? If not, then turn back to Him today, because He is truly magnificent. Amen.